Thank you. Thank you so much. And I believe we have a video.
Thanks, man.
And if we can go ahead and play that video real quick, and then I'll come right back up here, and then you guys can clap for me all over again, okay? And so it's going to be great.
North Valleys of Reno. We are just a group of ordinary people learning how to exalt the name of Jesus Christ in a greater way. Hey, I'm Jonathan Fountain. I'm the pastor here at Higher Vision Church right here in North Valleys of Reno. Look, our values here as a church is this, is that we know that God values us and we want to learn how to value God in a greater way. Not being forced to do it, but because out of our hearts and knowing who He is and how He loves us, we then want to love Him and grow in our relationship with our Creator. When we grow in that relationship with our Creator, we know that some things are going to happen right here in this church and in our community. Number one, we're going to learn how to love God. We're going to learn actually how to really love our community and take care of the needs of people right here in North Valleys. And not only that, but then learn how to multiply that love and that care that God's been wanting us to do for so many years already. And those are some of the key things that we want to do at Higher Vision Church. We believe God values you, and because of that, we want you to know we value you, and we want to make sure that you feel welcome coming here to Higher Vision Church. Again, as I said, we just want to grow closer to God, learn how to love Him in a greater way, learn how to love each other in a greater way, and make the biggest impact we can make in so many different lives and families. And we want to invite you to be a part of what God is doing already right here at Higher Vision Church in North Valleys of Reno.
All right, go ahead and clap again. All right. And so that was a video that we had put together for the church and for our community. And it's been really incredible already. So today is actually our ninth Sunday, and it's a little odd that I'm not there today, but at the same time, we knew that God wanted us to come out here today. And so I would love for you guys and with me right now, if you guys wouldn't mind, let's pray for them, because I am actually super nervous, all right? Because I've got this team of people that are incredible people, but it's the first time I left home as a dad, right? Like, we have five children at home, and we have a 14-year-old down to a 3-year-old. And about a year ago, we left our daughter at home to babysit the rest of the kids, right? And so we were like, yes! How many of you parents ever understand what I'm talking about? You're like, come on! We get to go out on a date night, but our first date night away, we were constantly, is everything okay? Is the house burning down? Are all the kids... As a matter of fact, the first night we left, our daughter Liberty put tinfoil in the microwave. Yeah, where was our oldest on that one? Right? You know what I mean? I was like, man. And I kind of feel that way this morning with the church. I'm not there right now. And I'm like, I know everything's going to be okay, but I hope no one's putting the tinfoil in the microwave today at church. You know what I mean? But I want to pray for our church at Higher Vision. If you guys would pray with me. Today's also a big day because it's our first giving campaign as a church. We're only 9 weeks old today. Today's our ninth week. But I'm going to tell you the reason why we're doing it is... Unlike most church plants, basically you go out on deputation or you try to find your support, you move out to your community, and then you begin the church. That's what our goal was. That's what we were planning on doing. God had put this team of people together at a church that I had previously helped relaunch and pastored for about 6 years. And through that relaunch, God built the team that I'm going to introduce to you in just a second. But what happened was is that we were going to go out to Reno about a year later. And so as we were praying about going to what part of Reno, we ran into a pastor that, unfortunately, and I do mean this honestly, they had a church that was completely dissolving. Do you know that churches dissolve sometimes? Oh, yeah. Can I tell you, though, I'll be very blunt with you, why that church dissolved? Anybody want to take a guess? It's fighting. Do you want to know why? Because we're prideful. That was just the crux of it. That was it. And it was so embedded in fighting and carnality and just not a loving aspect about the body over the years. It just continued to just dissolve. Well, they came to us and they said, we've got a building. And we met this guy at a conference and he's like, we have a building. I have a church that's dissolving, probably a good core group of people of about 20 or 30 that would actually help launch a new church in Reno. And then he literally said these words, would you guys consider coming to Reno? Well, me and the whole team, just about a week before that conversation, had already knew that God said, I want you to move to Reno. And so when we met this guy and he said, look, we want you to have this building, we want you to have this, we want you to have that, we want you to have a core group of people. And I just want to say, And if anybody's, are we live streaming this? So if anybody's watching from Reno 3 hours later, I just want to say thank you guys for all your hard work. But we have our launch day, we actually had just over 185 people at our very launch date. Now here's the really cool thing, is that usually after a launch date, it just kind of goes back down to reality of like 30 or 40. And that's typically what happens in a church plant, if you've ever been involved in one. And I've been involved in two. Like I said, God's allowed my wife and I to plant a church in Simi Valley with another church planter, and then also one in Southern California in a place called Santa Clarita. And then he moved us up here to Reno. We've experienced these things before. But the difference about this one is that every single week, and glory to Jesus Christ on this, but every week we've had about 160 to 180 people every single week come into the church, including new families, new people every single week. And it's traveling season in Reno. And so I'm not really sure what's going to look like in January, February when everybody gets back together. You know what I mean? And so we're very excited about it. And so let's go ahead and just pray. If you guys would, let's pray for that church this morning. And of course, I'm a little biased towards that church, Cody. You know what I mean? So we're going to pray for Higher Vision at this moment. But Father, we love you. I thank you so much for this morning, this time, God. Thank you for giving me and Cody really just the most greatest privilege, God, to be called pastors by you. And Lord, to honestly just be a part of so many incredible people. My wife and I have already been encouraged by so many people here at this place here at Grand Rapids Baptist Church. And Lord, I thank you for the spirit here. I thank you for Cody and Shonda, Lord, and their family, their love for you, their dedication for their family, and then their dedication for this church. Pray that you'd help my wife and I to have that same commitment and dedication 10 years later for Higher Vision as well. Help us to be as strong as they have been for their church family. Lord, we just pray this morning that you'd be with Higher Vision, Lord, and just encourage them today. Challenge people, Lord, as we've been talking the last 3 weeks about giving by faith, not by a law, but Lord, just truly just giving out of a heart of love and worship to you. And today's that big day, Lord, where people are really going to give and also give a commitment, Father, for the months or the weeks and the months and the years to come. And I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us and keep moving us forward. Help us to look at churches like Grand Rapids Baptist Church to keep us encouraged and keep moving forward, God, as you've done a great work here, and we thank you for it. Please bless this message and this morning that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for praying with me on that. And let's open up our Bibles to John chapter 17 this morning. John 17 is where we're going to open it up. And I know that you guys have some notes with you this morning. John 17 is not going to be in your notes. So you're going to have your Bible open or your phone. So I've got a really, really, really important question for you guys this morning. How many of you are excited to be in church today? I don't believe you. How many of you are excited to be in church this morning? All right. Do you know it's okay to be excited to be in church? Okay, all right, I just want to make sure. You guys know I'm from California, the lands of the fruits and nuts, all right? So here we go. But how many of you guys and ladies and kids are excited to be born again Christians of Jesus Christ? Yeah. Okay, all right, I like that one. Okay, and I really appreciate that. And we get excited at church. We teach our church a Higher Vision not to be so tight. Loosen up. Enjoy the fact that you're breathing this morning. Can I get an amen? Amen. All right. Be excited for the fact that you could get in a car and actually get to church this morning. Amen. Amen. All right. And then really be excited that you get to hear me preach today. I'm just kidding. You don't have to be excited about that. All right. Yeah. Okay. I got one. And Cody didn't even back me up. Thanks. And so Cody and I have known each other for, 12, 13 years now? And I just want to let you guys know really quick, and I actually don't do this at every church I go to, so it's not me being fake right now. I really am good. What I'm about to say is real from my heart. But when my wife and I were at Southern Hills Baptist Church back in Las Vegas, that's where we met Cody and Shonda. And we have an argument from time to time. I swear that I got there first, and he says he got there first. And nobody really knows because I can't find my membership. But I actually looked one time to find the membership date and track it back so I could say, booyah, we were there first. But I can't find it. But me and Cody and Shauna and my wife, Jenny, we all came to Southern Hills, a part of just a dynamic, great church over there in Las Vegas. And I tell you, I was a troubled married guy. I was just going to church. I was not rooted in my faith in Christ. I was born again, and I had a lot of struggles. I had a lot of heartaches. I had a lot of ups and downs. And Cody will tell you if he hasn't already, but like one of my first weeks, Cody caught me on the side of the church smoking a cigarette right after church. Now, how many of you right now just totally lost respect for me? Because if you did, you're not going to like me very much, all right? Because I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ, guess what he had to do in my life? He had to transform me. And it's the power of the gospel that he can do that, amen? Amen. So I thank Cody, and I thank God for guys like Cody and Tony was one. Josh Tice was one. There was a Gary Graves. Remember Gary? And, man, I tell you, these guys would put their arms around me and kind of put me in a chokehold in a loving way. You know what I mean? And be like, what are you doing, man? Like, you got an incredible wife. You've got a great kid. You got a great church going here. But you know what? It wasn't the way I grew up. It's just not what I knew. It was a struggle for me after I got saved at the age of 22 years of age. Like, I had had my whole life previously before that, and it was a real struggle for me just to change everything immediately. And can I tell you this? I had people who would judge me. I really did. At church, I learned to be excited about my salvation in Jesus Christ, but you know what else I learned at church? How to judge other people. I really did, because I was being judged for certain things that I had that I was trying to work through, and then people would not want to relate with me because the way I perceived it was, maybe you're just better than me. But guys like Cody and Shonda and ladies like Shonda, like, they would just love on us. They would just honestly be real with us and help us grow. And now here we are 14 years later, God has called us to preach and to plant churches, and God's allowed me and my wife to plant and be involved with 3 churches that I'm going to tell you right now, if I didn't have guys like that in my life who were real with me when I needed someone to be real with me about stuff, I don't know if I'd be where I'm at today. So let's thank your pastor and Shonda as well, just for who they are in Christ. They've been a huge blessing to our lives. Do you remember, Cody, when you encouraged me to get involved in ministry beyond the, I did Cubbies and Wana. It was my first ministry ever, and I was horrible at it. The pastor's kid actually kicked my wife one time, and she was pregnant. So I beat up the pastor's kid. He was 6. All right, no, I'm just kidding. I didn't do it. All right, but it was a bad day, and I was like, dude, you just kicked my wife. Like, I'm going to take you down. He looked at me. He's like, no, you're not. You know what I mean? And I was like, man. But Cody actually, he was like, hey, you want to help me out with a kid's ministry? And I said, sure, and I'm not kidding you guys. Cody went and built like this trifold like wall type thing, and he gave me a puppet. And he's like, do you remember that? And he's like, you're going to do puppet shows with me during the kids' class. Can y'all picture your pastor behind a wall where we're sitting there doing, right? Yeah, and I'm over here, and we're like, well, man, it was the cheesiest thing ever. Like, but it kept growing. Praise God for his grace. And so it was great. And just being a part of those days, looking back, I am so grateful. And I hope you can look back in your life and just go, wow, I'm so grateful for what God has done in my life. No matter where you're at today, you might not be where you think you ought to be at in your walk today, but can you still be grateful for at least the fact that you're thinking about it or you're moving forward about it? And you might not be where someone else wants you to be at, but let me remind you that you might not feel valued by that person, but let me tell you this, God values you. Your Heavenly Father, your King, your Savior values you. Think about that for a moment. He gave you the breath of life. He created you. He gave you a purpose. And he says, I value you. How many of you have ever not felt valued before? You know what I mean? It's hard to go through that. Especially as a new Christian sometimes. Like, you don't know. You start looking at where other people are at in their Christian walk. And you begin to tell yourself that you're not valuable just because you're not to someone else's standard on something. And sometimes people will treat you that way because you're not to their standard yet, and they'll make you feel less valuable. But here's the truth. Jesus Christ values where you are at right now. He loves you. He's got something in store for you. I've heard an old saying a while back that I've never been able to get rid of, and it was a quote that someone said, has who you are discovered why you are? Every one of us has a who we are. Our personality, our cultural upbringing, our experiences, our ups and downs in life, but then there's the why you are. Has who you are discovered the why you are? Now, when we go to John chapter 17 and we talk about the why we are as a church, we're going to look at 4 real basic core values that every church ought to have, every Christian ought to have, because the Christians make up what we have here this morning as what we call the church. And there are 4 basic common core values that I hope as the months and the years come for Grand Rapids Baptist Church, or even in your Christian life, you've been a Christian for 2 years, maybe for 3 months, maybe for 25 years, you've been born again. These common core values should still be your common core values because they belong to Jesus Christ. I'll put it to you this way. You have a DNA, correct? Like, I have a DNA. This is in my DNA strand, in my blood that flows through my veins, my DNA says I was going to be super tall. Because I see, I'm looking down at all of y'all. See, I'm taller. By the way, I played basketball for a long time, and that would be the first thing people would always say to me. Number one, like, you grew up playing basketball. I'm not kidding you. People are like, number one, you're white and you're short. I'm like, what does that have to do with anything? They're like, because you can't be any good. I'd always be the last guy that would get picked up on the court, you know? But when it comes to your DNA, some of you have blue eyes. Some of you have brown eyes. Some of you have hazel eyes. Some of you are taller than others, correct? Some of you guys can grow beard. I can't grow a beard. I can grow a goatee, but it won't grow right here. It's part of my DNA. It is who I am. And here's the thing about your DNA and my DNA. Can you run from it? You can't run from it. I mean, people today think they can actually change themselves to run from it, but you still can't run from it because what's in your DNA is what's in your DNA, period. As a believer of Jesus Christ, your life became new. And in that new life, Jesus Christ says, I'm gonna give you a new purpose. And in that new purpose, as the church, there's this blood flowing through your veins now as a Christian. And as a Christian, I'm going to ask you, what is going through your veins this morning? What should make up our DNA as a body of believers that comes together? As Christian, what is going through our veins that make us who we are? And that's what we're going to look at today. And it's four basic core values that we should always see flowing out of our lives because it's a natural part of our DNA. One of the cool things about this is that our church is 9 weeks old. Your church is how old? 10 years? 11? 9 years? You're just aging quicker. I thought maybe 10. Like, all right. He's actually better looking than me. I know it. I'm just jealous. Now, here's the thing. Even though that your church is 9 years old and we are 9 weeks old, these four common values should be in both churches. No matter what. If you've been a Christian for 30 years, and you might be a Christian for 2 years, through the Holy Spirit of God, He's always going to want to produce these four things. This is why I'm bringing this up. I've been a part of a church for 6 years where we replanted it. The church grew and it grew and we had people saved. It got super exciting. And you know what began to happen is we kept adding programs. And programs are fine. Programs are good. They help. But we kept adding programs, we kept adding this, we kept adding that, and we kept adding this, and we kept doing that. And what we got really, really good at some point in time is great at community organizing through our church. And what we began to forget about was this word discipleship, right? You guys heard that word around here? That's awesome. Discipleship, multiplying, getting rooted in your belief and in your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, the thing about this is that if we're not commonly doing these four core values and we don't see these in our church or in our Christian lives, guess what? You're a ticking time bomb. You as an individual, as a Christian, and you make up this church here. Do you know that in 20 years from now, this church might not be here? Did you know that? Yep. But do you know why? Who makes up the church? Four basic core values, please never, never forget. No matter how awesome the journey gets, no matter how much you guys keep growing, no matter what God keeps doing here, you can always go back to these four main principles. So let's go to John chapter 17 real quick. John chapter 17. And if you guys will read this with me in your Bible, in your phone, or if you got your iPad with you, or whatever it might be. But in John chapter 17, we're going to start at verse 16 this morning. And we're going to take a look quickly at these four different core values. So John 17, starting in verse number 16. So here's the words of Christ, and he says that they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So if you're not familiar with John 17, Jesus is literally praying to his Father before he's going to be crucified. The next day, he's going to be betrayed. John 16 is when he talks about the Holy Spirit and the power of him and what he's there to do in our lives and how he's going to help guide us and lead us. But in sandwiched in these areas, Jesus had it on his heart to pray for the church, to pray for the Christians, his disciples. And this is what he's praying to God. And so he says, they, my disciples, are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. They also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all might be as what? As thou, Father, are in me, and I in thee, that they also may be what? One in us, that the world may believe that who? He, that my Father has sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are what? Whew! Did you guys just catch that? Did you realize that Jesus Christ just told us, out of all the outreach programs that we can offer, Easter, Christmas, postcards, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, door knocking, whatever it is, Jesus didn't mention any one of those. Although he knew Facebook was coming, he could have said it. He knew Instagram was coming, he could have said it, but he didn't. What did he say was going to help the world believe that he was sent by him into the world and that he is the Messiah? What was it? That what? Go ahead, you guys can answer, go ahead. Oneness. When me and Cody learn how to be one, as the Father and the Son are one, he says, that's the outreach. That's what's going to make the message believable. So, how are we when it comes to loving each other like one? And then you go, man, we're doing great with that, right? I'm like, man, we're doing pretty good. We got this. Okay, but let's take it another step further. How did Jesus say, though? Like him and the Father are what? One. Do you remember when the sin came upon Jesus Christ, what happened? Remember when Jesus cried out, he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, why? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was praying, the great drops of blood, and he said, let this cup pass before me. Was he scared of the cat of nine tails? Was he scared to bleed on the cross? Was he scared of your sin? Not necessarily, but it was what the sin of the world coming upon him was going to do to his relationship with his Father. He knew when the sins of the world were going to fall upon him, your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and your sin, and yours, and mine, it was going to come upon him. And he knew at that moment that the Father would not be able to look upon his Son breaking such a pure relationship. You did that. I did that. And he willingly accepted it because he values you. So are we one? The core value of one. How do we get to that place where we can learn to be one and keep growing to be as one? As you guys have been growing in that, obviously, over the last 9 years, God has kept growing you guys together and growing you together. And so these four common things that we want to look at today, going through this portion of Scripture, is number one, love. Love. And if you want to take notes, please feel free to take notes this morning, but love. Love is obviously a core value that should be in our lives as Christians and as a church or as churches at Higher Vision Church. It's something that we've been teaching the people in our church that, look, we've got to come to a place where we authentically and organically are in love with one another. It's not a, hey, I love you, brother. Hey, I love you, sister. But when they need help, it's like, I'm praying for you. God bless you. But my question is this, did you take that person by the hand and said, let me literally go take you to help? Let me literally take you to the next stage of your life. Let me be that person that will invest in your life. Love is spelled how? What? It's L-O-V-E, but what else? Ah, come on, the old song, you guys aren't with me on this one. T-I-M what? Can you honestly say you love someone without time with them? Try to go home, husbands, and not talk to your wife for a month and see what happens. Go home and not spend any time with your kids and see how they feel. They'll feel insecure. By the way, husbands and wives, it's a huge problem in our country today, at least on the West Coast. I don't know about over here so much, but it is such a problem. We work and work and work and work so much, and we tell our kids we love you by what we buy them, but the kids are at home still wondering, where's the time? Where's mom and dad? Well, I bought you another gift. I got you another thing. I got you something else because I sure love you, but they're going, yeah, but if you love me, why aren't we together? We have bought into this lie that more means more love, I guess, for, in a sense, for our kids, at least on the West Coast. And it is a horrific problem, the amount of single parents we have, I know, in Reno, let alone anywhere else in like California and Las Vegas. We have so many single parents. So many people, so many young adults, so many kids that are growing up without mom or dad. It's a crying shame. It's a horrific problem. And it all comes down to, sometimes, does your kid really believe when you say you love them? I love you. And they might say back to you, I love you. Can I tell you a little something about myself? I grew up in a single family home. My mom raised me and my two brothers by herself. I remember watching my mom work all the time growing up. She worked and worked and worked at a dry cleaners and like at a food place, and then she got a job with a pest control company, and she was working, working, working all the time. And my dad actually left when I was born. So my dad took off and he wasn't a part of the picture. My mom was there left raising me and my two brothers. And I tell you, she was gone all the time. And not only was she gone all the time, but it seemed like we still didn't have food in the home. Like, you'd go to the fridge. You ever been there before? You go to the fridge, and you're like, man, you start joking about getting milk stuck in your teeth. That's not good. Do you guys get what I'm saying? That's not a good day. When you drink a glass of milk and you got to pick it out, I mean, that's moldy. That's bad. When you don't have the food in your home that you wish you had, but all I remember growing up is that, where is my mom? Where is my mom when my mom is at work? And why is my mom having to work three jobs? Because my dad decided that we weren't worth it. So later on, my dad would come up to me and say, son, I love you. And I'd say, prove it. And he wouldn't prove it. He'd come back at me again a year or 2 years later, and he'd say, son, I'm going to come and pick you up from your house. I'm going to come, and I want you to have your bags packed. I'm going to pick you up in my Corvette. He was always big into racing and all these things. He's like, man, I'm going to go pick you up, and I need you outside. I'm in a hurry. Be outside waiting for me at 9:30 in the morning. I'm going to pick you up on that Saturday. We're going to spend some time together. And I would sit there, and I'd have my bags packed waiting on my dad. It'd be 10:30. My mom would come out. He's not coming, Jonathan. No, Mom, he's coming. He's coming. He loves me. He told me so. But he wouldn't show up. It seemed like he did it time and time and time again. Do you honestly think I believe my dad really loved me? At 14 years of age, I mean, I totally rebelled. Dropped out of high school. I got involved with just so many bad things at such a young age. I got to the place where I had to do other bad things in order to just survive. There was a time, by the time I was 17 years of age, I was actually living in my car. 17. Living in my car. And the only thing I can remember sometimes is something like my mom or some, every once in a while a Christian would come into my life and they would say, hey, Jesus loves you. And I said, I hate Jesus. Forget him. That was me. You know why I didn't believe Jesus loved me? Because my dad and my mom were the representatives of Jesus for me as a child. And so when my parents didn't show me that love, or I didn't have that time with them, and then someone said, Jesus loved you, I would look at my parents in my life and I would say, how could Jesus call this love? And moms and dads, I want to encourage you today, if you've got children and teenagers, don't love your kids that way. Spend time with them. Hold them by the hand. Do devotions with them. Pray with them. Talk about the hard things together, eye to eye. Be real with each other. Don't hide things. Love them. As a church, as Christians, God says we ought to love each other. Amen? Amen. All right. So when God says love one another, and you think about this passage here, I mean, Jesus Christ, John 3:16, right? It says that he came, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in him shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize today that if you're in this room, and maybe you're a new guest here, maybe you don't know if you believe in Jesus or not, but I want to tell you something that I learned, that even though people called me trash, I had people who looked at me and said, you are nothing, yet you burn all the bridges and that you are junk. Even my own family at times, I believed them. But that book right there, there's something different about that, isn't there? Because I knew some of the passages and I understood some of the things. And even at my worst moments, that nobody else would take me in or do anything for me necessarily, and it was my own doing, it was my own fault, and yet there were certain portions of Scripture that I learned at the age of 8 here and there. Because we tried to go to church. That just kept speaking to me in that dark, dark season. It just kept speaking to me. It just kept speaking to me. And then one night my brother came up to me and he put his hand on my shoulder. His name's David and I thank God for him all the time. He literally came up to me. I was at his house one night just crying my eyes out on the back porch. Just crying. You ever cried so much that it was like you were empty? Like you just had no more liquid? You know what I mean? And I'm just sitting there and I'm just crying and crying and crying. My brother puts his hand on my shoulders. And all he says to me is that you need new life. You need to go ahead and accept Jesus as your Savior. And it was at that moment that I realized the reality that even though that I felt like garbage and I felt like trash, Jesus told me at that moment, but I've been pursuing you this whole time. I've been in constant pursuit of you, Jonathan Fountain. Don't worry about what other people are saying about you. Don't worry about what you feel like from your childhood. Don't you dare take this into this new relationship in that regard. Because I'm going to tell you something what right now, Jonathan. If you can value my love, then you're also going to learn to always value the truth of my word, which is the next thing. Truth. When it comes to our lives and it comes to valuing what we are that God has made us and saved us from, and it should be a major part, core part of who we are as Christians and as a church. We ought to be in love with one another. In love with one another. Let me ask you this. Are you in love with Jesus? Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, Jesus isn't this building. He's not a book. He's not a service time. He's not a worship song, right? He is a literal person that came and he died on the cross. And then here's even better. He's not just a person, but who is he? God Almighty. And he came pursuing after me and you. And he goes, look, as a believer, as a church, one of your core values is going to have to be around my love because it's my love that's in constant pursuit of each other. So this is what I want to encourage you guys in this. As a church, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, next month from now, for us, 10 weeks from now. As a Christian, you meet another woman, you meet another guy that comes into this place. And you find out that and like what we just ran into before, we met a lady not long before we left Castaic in California, she had an abortion. And she felt like church was the last place she could go. You want to know why? Because people said, hey, we love you, but then all she saw on Facebook from a lot of Christians is all kind of like this hatred type speech about people aborting their kids. And I am pro-life 100%. But here's my point. Guess who she didn't want to come to even though she knew she needed to come? Jesus. And but why though? By our representation of him. We don't represent Jesus Christ the way we ought to sometimes by the way we treat other people. When someone comes into this room and they have got an alcohol problem or they've got a marital problem or maybe they've got a depression issue and mental illness is a real thing for people, you don't want to just look at them and say, hey, if you believed more, you'd be okay. That's not true. Amen. It's not true. Right. But you got to take somebody by the hands and say, look, this is love. This is a core value of who we are as Christians. Instead of saying, hey, have a better day. Someone tells you, man, I'm feeling depressed. And you go up to them with a huge smile on a Sunday and praise God for this. And you go, hey, man, it's going to be a great day. Just be happy. Be excited. I'm praying for you. Guess what? It didn't help that person. Amen. You're right. Have you ever sat down long enough with somebody who's depressed or struggling financially, maybe things of that nature? And have you ever actually offered personal finances to another person and nobody in this church would ever even know that you did it? It's not a church program that Pastor Cody put together. It's not an item line on your church budget. It is just you being in love with Jesus and wanting to pour back out into someone else's life who's struggling with something. So it looks more like this. It's not like, hey, Cody, I'm praying for you, man. I hope you do well with your trial. Hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I sent you a text the other day. Did you get it? Yeah, I got it. And praise God for that, but that's not enough. What I'm trying to encourage you in is this. Tell that person, hey, I'll take you to your first two or three sessions. I'll pay $125 an hour for your sessions. Because has it ever, through your love for them, did it ever kind of like come to your mind that maybe they can't afford to get the help they need? You guys ever thought about that? How many of you have ever been in that position before in your life where you're like, I needed help, and I knew the help I needed to get, but I didn't go get it because I just couldn't get there, right? Like you go, man, I'm stressed out. I'm feeling depressed. And then someone says, I need to go get help. But now I'm even more stressed because I know I'm broke. Where are the Christian people who look at those things and don't go to the church budget for it, but just out of the heart of your own love as a follower of Jesus, you recognize that with somebody and you go, man, I'm going to pay for it for you. I'm gonna pick you up on Monday. I'm going to take you to your appointments. I'm going to do whatever it is it takes or whatever it might be. There's a different picture of love there, isn't there? It's intentional investing in another person's life through your life. It's intentional. Don't wait for your church to have a program or an item line in the budget to be benevolent, to help with something, because it all goes back to our core value, love. Do you guys remember in that Bible verse where the Bible says that, and while we were yet sinners, Christ did what for us? So when we couldn't help ourselves, he went ahead and did it for us, amen? It is a characteristic trait in flowing through your blood. Do you know that? As a Christian, this is what's flowing through your veins this morning as a child of God. And I want to encourage you to think outside that box. Don't always just look at what you have here, but think about what you can do for other people, even outside of just your church context here. 1 John 4:7, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that it liveth is born of God and knoweth God. Here's the second one. We'll do this one quickly, is truth. One of our core values as a body of believers, as a church, as Christians, it ought to be around love and it ought to be around truth. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Man, I tell you, my brother David told me some truth when I needed it the most, and I hated him for it. Like, I remember getting so irritated at my brother for saying good things to me because I was just arrogant. I was prideful. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't want to change necessarily, but the funny thing is I actually did want to change. Have you ever been there before? Like, I really did. Like, I knew I needed to change, and then someone said some truth to me, and I'm like, oh, like, who are you judging, right? You know, but it's so weird because inside I knew that they were right. That's our pride, isn't it? At war with truth. And here's the thing, and I want to encourage you guys in this as Christians. We might look different. I might dress different than some of you, but here's the thing. We have the same truth. We've got the essentials of Jesus Christ's truth, that he died on the cross, that he was born again, that he is the Son of God, and through him and only him can someone truly have new life. In a world full of lies and fake news, would y'all agree with that today, fake news? We want to be a people of truth because the truth, the Bible says, is what will set people what?
Free.
So in Nevada, you got to be careful politically, like saying things. But I'll just say this across the board. The one thing that I always look to as my guide is not any type of news network. It's not one in particular president or candidate or party. For me, it always goes back to, what does the Word of God say? Like, what does it say? If you're somebody who highly gets stressed out all the time because of all the news you watch, turn it off and just get into the real news, because I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't fake news. It's the real thing. You can take it to the bank. It's going to happen. And by the way, he's already told us what's going to happen. So why stress so much about it? Just do what you're here to do and go win people to Jesus Christ and love them. And be that representation of who Jesus wants you to be and have fun doing it. Come on. Right? Can we have fun doing this? Some of y'all don't look fun. I'm sorry. I'm just looking at you and you don't look fun. Like, you got to have some fun while you're doing it. Like, we don't want to be the Eeyore Christians out there. Like, oh, brother. Yeah, you know, and then, like, you finally meet somebody, you're like, man, praise Jesus. you ought to come to the Lord. And they're looking at you going, and why? I mean, let's be excited. Let's be grateful. Let's be on fire. That, man, I have been set free through the truth of God's word. I know what's true and I know what's false. And I can live that life stress-free because I know what the word of God is saying. The Bible says in John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 14, remember, it says, and remember Jesus, how he said that he is the truth and the what? Life. So does God want you to enjoy your life? Yes. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, don't take that out of context and go, hey, pastor, God wants me to start a church tomorrow. I can do all things. Or some of you are like, man, I can go and do this tomorrow. I prayed about it and I can do all things. That is totally out of context. But what he is saying is that I know how to be abased and I know how to be abound. I know how to be humble. I know how to have a physical ailment and still be joyful. I know how to be broke and still be joyful. I know how to have money and still be joyful. Because, by the way, it's hard sometimes to be rich and joyful. That's right. That's what that verse is saying. I can do all things through Christ. Paul, I'm in prison, but I am still joyful. I can do all things. Why? Because the truth has set us free. Now, imagine that in the world we live in, of all the stressed out and all the things that are going on. And here you are like, man, life is good. Praise God. This is awesome. And someone goes, yeah, but I know about your problem. And it's like, yeah, that problem really is hard. But life's good because I've been set free. And you imagine when you're around people like that, where they are just dying in their stress. They're dying over the fact that, man, they're like, I don't know what to do with all of this. And here you come with your message. But it's not just a message, it's your action. So let me put it to you this way. You are the message. You. Your life, your trial, your ailment, your thing that you're going through right now is the message, maybe for your next door neighbor. Maybe it's for another person in this church. Maybe it's for the person that you keep running into the grocery store all the time. You ever met somebody like that? You always end up running into the same person at the grocery store. No? Yes? Yeah? Okay. Yeah. And like, we do that all the time. We do that all the time when people run into the same people. And I just go, you know what, God, I wonder what you're trying to tell me. And I feel like sometimes the Holy Spirit's like, yes, talk to them, please. Yeah, you guys ever been there before? You're like, man, you meet people and it's like, man, are you talking to people about the truth? Here's the third one, fellowship. Fellowship. When it comes to fellowship, verses 21 and 23, it says this, that they may all be as one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. 1 Peter 2:17, God says this, honor all men. Did you guys catch that? That means other political people. How hard is that, though, sometimes? Even, like, sometimes, like, other Christians. You guys ever met, like, a Christian? You're just like, man, they're annoying. Oh, okay, we got excited there, all right. And so it's like, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the who? All right, here we go, guys. This is why this one's so important with fellowship. Is there anybody here not embarrassed to come up here with me? All right, so Cody, you're not embarrassed. Can I get somebody else? Can you come up here? All right, let me get you guys up here. So we're going to do you first. I love the Harley Davidson coat. I'm going to bring you up here. All right, so what's your name?
AJ,
I'm Jonathan. Nice to meet you, AJ. Cody invited me out here. It's all his fault, okay? And so he invited me out here. So look, when it comes to fellowship, I want you guys to think about this. Why is this so important that we make sure we totally understand and get when it comes to fellowship? So fellowship's not a building name, like the fellowship hall, right? It ain't that. It's what should be going on sometimes in those buildings. It should be what we're doing here. But not only that, but how we're learning to love each other and apply these first two basic principles that God says should be flowing through our veins, right? Honoring each other through love, but not only that, but speaking truth to one another. And so when it comes to this fellowship and the world we're trying to reach today, this is why I believe it's so important for us. And it really comes down to this. Jesus Christ, when he said that he died for the church, you guys realize what he said is I've died and I'm creating a culture. Okay? We live in America, and America is amazing because we are a country full of what? Cultures. We have so many different cultures in our country. There's so many cultures around the world today, and cultures equal community, correct? Community is a big deal. Community is something that everybody's looking for. We want to find that community where we fit in and where we belong. And Jesus Christ, being God, understood this from the beginning of all this. And he goes, I'm going to create a culture within a world of cultures, and I'm going to call it the Christian culture. It's the followers of Jesus. So what should our culture as Christians look like then, right? Because if we're not careful, we'll come up with all kinds of wild and crazy things. Like, you can't wear this in our culture. You can't sound like this in our culture. You can't act like this in our culture. And none of it's in the Bible.
Right.
That's a problem, because the truth, not your truth, his truth will what? Set you free. And so God says, know my truth and allow my spirit to seal that truth in your soul and then live it out in a thing that he calls fellowship. All right. So here we go. I grew up in a broken home. I was born and raised in the Southeast. I used to go hunting when I was really young. Man, like, we love fried stuff. Yeah? So fried okra, amen? Yes. All right. We love fried okra. We loved all these different things when I grew up. I was hunting by the time I was the age of like 6. I was driving 4-wheel pickup trucks by the time I was 8. It was great. I wrecked my aunt's truck one time. I got a real big whooping. Y'all remember whoopings?
Yep.
Okay, so I got a big old whooping from my aunt, of all people, right? So, all right, you know, yeah, that's how we grew up, right? So this was kind of my culture. We had our ups and downs. I had 2 brothers. We were very laid back, more country type, race car fans, things of that nature. How about your culture? What was your culture like, if you don't mind me asking?
Honestly, really similar to yours.
Very similar. Yeah. Okay, all right.
I grew up in Northeast Pennsylvania after being here when I was a very young child, but we hunted all the time, you know, every year. It was an important part of our thing.
Yeah.
Church was not a part of our existence.
Okay, okay.
But yeah, I had a brother that's 5 years older than me, and we didn't have a whole lot of neighbors around.
Yeah.
So we were all we had for the most part.
Okay.
But yeah, we again, very similar to yours.
This was your culture.
Yes.
How many of you would say your culture growing up was being in church? Like, okay, cool. So that was part of your culture. So me and him are very similar in our culture and the way that we grew up and my family setting and all this. Cody, how about yourself? Arizona?
Yeah.
Okay. If you mind me asking, like, kind of what was your culture like?
No church.
No church?
Broken home.
Okay, broken home.
Lived with my dad, though, instead of my mom.
Okay, live with dad.
And then heavily involved in sports.
Heavily involved? Oh, yeah. Good one. Heavily involved in sports. What kind of food did y'all like growing up on?
Deep fried fat burrito.
Yes. Yes. I love it. All right. Now, by the way, this is my beautiful wife. Say hello to Jennifer. All right. So I know what y'all are thinking. How did she score this guy? And yes. And so, Jennifer, what was your cultural upbringing? Oh, by the way, obviously her skin tone's a little different. Right?
Just a little bit. Just a little
Yeah. Okay. So, like, where are you from? Amen. Okay. So she's Puerto Rican and Colombian, and I am just whatever. All right. And so she's got a different culture. And how many of you would say that you have a different cultural life than what we have up here? Okay. Yeah, quite a few of you. Wow. Actually, keep your hands up for a second. How many of you? Wow, look at that. We are in huge trouble. Because God says that his culture is made up of what cultures? All of these cultures. And he says, embedded in his Christian culture, he's not telling her not to be Puerto Rican and Colombian, is she?
No.
He's not telling her that her past life didn't exist. He's not saying that. He's not saying my past life didn't exist before I was saved. Same with these guys up here. But what Jesus Christ is doing, though, through the truth of his word and through what he's calling the Christian fellowship, we are beginning to come together as this Christian culture. Where we can get in trouble is where his culture becomes the truth. Where his culture becomes the truth. Her culture becomes the truth. My culture becomes the truth. And now we're all fighting. And the world is looking at us going, We don't want what you have. Because we're already doing that well on our own. You got countries bombing each other, right? Like overnight. I mean, the Gaza Strip, you've got Afghanistan. They're always doing something. Like, man, I don't trust. I'm sorry. I don't. I just look at them and go, I don't trust you. You know what I mean? And you got all these things going on in the world today, but we've got a nuclear blast happening within Christianity if we're not careful. Because we, somewhere along the line, we got a part of this fellowship, and I said, man, I'm going to love you. Wait, how come you, I don't think that way on that. And Cody's like, yeah, I know, but I don't think the way you think on that. And then I go, I love you, and then we just kind of like, right? And it's like, and you know that Jesus, our Father's in heaven going, what are you doing? Why don't you just love him? Instead, we act like we love each other, like, I love you, brother. But then I go home and I talk bad about him. And guess who hears it? My children. What are we doing? John 17, Jesus said that the world's going to know that the Messiah came by God and his name is Jesus, not because we say we're Christians, but because we act like Christians. Here's what we mean by acting like Christians. Remember these core things. Love. Are you loving each other? Are you not just loving each other, but are we binded together by truth? And are we learning how to act in fellowship with one another? Love, truth, and fellowship. When we have these three, give them a round of applause. You guys are great. I'm almost done. When we have these three things going on, this is the last part here, and I hope that you guys always pray for this and you always look for this in your church 10 years from now. Transformation. Transformation, that's it. Look at verse 19. And for their sakes I sanctify myself that they also might be sanctified. Jesus Christ's main goal for me and you here today is that he wants us to take the fellowship, the love, this Christian culture that he's building within this world of cultures. And he's saying through this Christian culture, the world is actually going to start believing more that Jesus truly did come and die on the cross for their sins. And it's by our actions of how we are loving each other with the truth of God's word. He literally is telling us that it makes the gospel message believable. You and me, we are a big part of that message because we are individual messages of the gospel in us. And God says, now I left you on this planet for one main reason. It's to go, win, baptize, and teach. Do you know that every single one of us in this room have the exact same calling? You don't have to pray for that calling. He made that a universal calling for every Christian who belongs to that Christian culture. It's a part of who we are. It's about multiplying. You know what, Cody, do I have time for one illustration? Yeah? I'm going to do this real quick. It's just something God just put on my heart. Honestly, it was not in the message. I tell you what. So I got saved. My brother, he told me about Christ, 22 years of age. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I had a lot of work ahead of me, didn't I? Right? I had a lot of stuff going on, and God was just transforming me. He was sanctifying me, and I was getting excited. I was living a more peaceable life, even though I still had trials. But I felt more peaceable because of the truth was in me, and I was living it out, and I could see more and more the reality of God. And it got me to the place when I met a guy like Cody who actually challenged me, and he said, hey, have you ever actually told somebody else about Jesus? Do you remember how I used to teach that class? Have you ever actually told somebody about Jesus? And I was like, I haven't done that. I just was doing my thing, living my life, enjoying my family. I was faithful in church, even though I had some hangups here and there. I remember the first time Pastor Tice preached on giving. I was like, I knew it! I was that guy. I was like, don't preach on giving. Like, I was. Man, my wife, she prayed for me. Praise God. I got to the place where I went and I told somebody. And I came up to somebody like Cody, and I actually took them out to coffee. And I actually told them that I was a Christian. And it was such a weird feeling, since it's like I was freaking out inside. Have you ever like done that before? And I'm like, I am so scared. I'm like, what if they ask me a tough question? What if they ask me about like something I don't know anything about? And like, what if they throw this bomb at me? But all I knew is that God saved me, and I at least had that message. And so I shared that message, and then that person ended up trusting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they stayed in church. It was like, whoa. And you know why they stayed in church? Because they saw a group of people were learning to love each other, and it kept them motivated, and it kept that message so believable for them, and it was so cool to watch them grow in their faith. So let's say that he's my friend. He gets saved. All right, this is what God's wanting us to do. So he gets, I know, man, I'm so active. I'm sweating, right? All right, so we get saved. What has God told me to do? Go and win and teach others also and be part of a culture of believers, right? The Christian culture. And then he gave the same thing to Cody, correct? All right, so go save someone. All right, I'm going to go save someone. All right, I'm going to go save, yeah. Man, I've been praying for you for years. All right. So look, if we are believing in these core values, oh, she ain't ready. She ain't ready. Oh. That was all about workspace. I don't know about that one. All right. So look. So now that God says we're learning to be that Christian culture he's called to, we're loving each other, we're living in truth, we're doing the things that we're supposed to, what did God command all four of us to do? All right, let's go find someone to get saved again, all right? All right, so we're going to go save someone else. Let's see. You know what, Jenny? I'm going to have you come up here. I'm going to save you. You know what I mean? But I love it at these moments, because I preached this one time before, this illustration, and I remember looking out into the crowd, and, like, it's so funny, because, like, people were like... You know, and like, yeah, and you find that person, you just look at them for a minute, and they always look up, and they're like, it's great. All right, so look, guys, this is what we're called to do. Grand Rapids Baptist Church is called to get behind your pastor who God has given you and blessed you with, the vision of go reaching the community. But even if Pastor Cody never had a vision night, never had a, hey, let's do this or that, you could still look at God's word and go, we know what our vision is. It is to go... win, baptize, and teach. And now that our church is growing, hopefully we're not forgetting about those core values. Remember what I said in the beginning of the message? Because sometimes that's what happens. It's weird. Man, we really get going. The Holy Spirit's really at work. Things are really happening. And it's almost as if we forget about the Spirit of God in some aspects or whatever it might be. And then we get like these little things that start coming up. And then you got new people in like this whole side of the church. You guys aren't even saved at all. You guys are all brand new guests today. That's a lot of guests, right? You guys are all new guests. And you're watching us on how we act, don't you? And if we're not careful, we forget about the love and the truth, the core values, and all they see is us fighting each other about dumb, non-sensible things, and they go, the message isn't believable. But through me and you, Jesus Christ says, I'm going to make my message believable through this Christian culture. Now, in Christian cultures, do we have some arguments and fights here and there? Right? You know what I mean? But if we remember this, all of us as individuals, that our core value is to love each other, be patient with each other, encourage one another, guess what's going to happen? The world's going to see us fight, which is normal. But what's not normal is they're going to watch how we forgive each other in humility and grace. And honestly still love one another. That makes that message believable, doesn't it? What are we doing up here at this point? If we went back out into the city, you guys are the city. What are we doing at this point? It's called multiplying. Say that with me. Multiplying. Do you like to multiply? Do you know that his heart is not just to have a bigger church? That's what I love about this guy. It's about what a bigger church represents, and that's new people coming to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It's about a growing Christian culture in this building right here and in this place. And we just keep reaching people for the name of Jesus Christ. I'm a long-winded guy, but thank you for allowing me to do that illustration. You guys can be seated. If you get a chance today or this week, go back and read John chapter 17 on your own. On your own. Just go back and read it on your own. And just ask God to point you to things, maybe in your own life, where maybe you didn't understand one of those core values yet, or maybe you've kind of drifted from one of those core values. But ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide and help you and lead you in that way. Let's pray.